It's Wednesday, the 4th of May, 2016. Happy birthday to George Hill, Kyle Singler, and Victor Oladipo. Monster Show brought to you by Loot Crate and Min T90. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Min T90, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become that sponsor. And in addition, you help the podcast out immensely. So if you've got a couple of spare minutes, that would be greatly appreciated if you could leave that review. My name is Josh Lloyd, and this podcast, as with all shows, is broadcast live on YouTube. So if you are watching live on YouTube and you want to interact with the show, you can tweet at me at redrock_bball, which you can see beneath my head on the screen at the moment. You can tweet me at any time on that Twitter handle if you have any questions, queries, comments, critiques, criticisms, anything. You can tweet at me at that handle. But if you're watching live and you want to interact with the show, tweet at me at that handle and we can have some discussion on the show. We had a very interesting day in the NBA, an interesting Tuesday with just the two games on. A quick programming announcement: there's one game for Wednesday, there's one game for Thursday, so I'm going to cover both of those games in tonight's podcast, because the DFS sites will be doing two-day contests. That means that tomorrow there'll be no podcast, but if anything changes with that game that is on Thursday, if you remember at Basketball Monster, all the adjustments will be made over on the Basketball Monster site: rotations, minutes, projections, all that sort of stuff. So check out stuff over on Basketball Monster. But I won't be doing a podcast to do a preview of one game, because there aren't going to be any one game contests. It's going to be 2 day stuff, and we'll go through that in today's show. Of course, if you have any questions about DFS lineups or comments or queries or want a second opinion on stuff, you know you can tweet that at me at that Twitter handle which I mentioned earlier, which is at redrock_bball. We've got stuff to talk about, so
let's get to it.
Indeed. Let's start with the monstrous DFS line of the night for Tuesday, and it's the same player who is the value play of the day, and it is Jonas Valanciunas of the Toronto Raptors. Valanciunas was priced at 6,200, and he had an absolute monster. He put up 54.3 FanDuel points. He played 41 minutes and went 24-14. He had 3 assists. He had 2 steals. He had 3 blocks. He went 10 of 16 from the field. He hit all 4 of his free throws, and this guy is legitimately an animal. You've probably heard me ad nauseum talking about Valanciunas for this season, for last season, from the season before when the podcast started. Is it, why doesn't Dwayne Casey give this guy more minutes or give this guy the ball? Because he can do a lot. He's improved his defense. He's not a great defender, but he's improved it enough to be, you know, to remain on the floor for 30 plus minutes a night. He's so good offensively, he's so good rebounding-wise, that he needs to be out there, in my opinion. And yes, the Raptors didn't get over the line here, but Valanciunas was absolutely tremendous. He's been tremendous in the playoffs. He's such a great and productive scorer on the post, one of the best in the NBA, and he's still only pretty young. Yet you have guys like DeRozan and Lowry just taking the ball down the stretch, and Valanciunas even sitting for stretches in the fourth quarter, in crunch time when they need to come back. It's just ridiculous bullshit from Casey. And yes, he's got this team to the number 2 seed, but I still think he makes a lot of questionable decisions in terms of his play call and play style and rotation, mainly related to Valanciunas. He should be out there more. He should be out there. He should be playing 33 minutes a game. In the playoffs, he should be playing more, and that's great that he did it today. It needs to continue. He was absolutely superb. The DFS dud of the night goes to his teammate Kyle Lowry, who is at 7,800. I did mention on yesterday's show, if I'm spending up on point guard, it's definitely not going towards Lowry. He has not been great, and he was not great again. He played 43 minutes. He had 7 points. He sent the game into overtime with a ridiculous buzzer beater from beyond halfway, and that's great. But for the rest of the game, he had 4 points. 4. That's not a good night from Lowry. He had 4 rebounds, he had 6 assists, he had 3 steals, so not bad there. But 3 of 13 from the field. Just a horrific, horrific night from Lowry. He missed all 6 of his all 6 of his 3-point attempts, apart from that half-court heave to send the game into overtime. It has to be his elbow that's bothering him. He apparently he wasn't in the locker room after the game. He was out practicing his shooting, and then came back in later. Something's got to give for Lowry, but he was tremendous through all the regular season, apart from, say, the last 2 to 3 weeks. and has been abysmal through most of the playoffs, and really needs to change for the Raptors to have a chance of beating the Heat. He was the guy that, yeah, if you spent up on Lowry, you probably weren't winning your DFS contest, league, head-to-head matchup, whatever it was you were playing. Not a good option to have picked Lowry. Let's look at the perfect lineup from Tuesday's games. At point guard, it was Dame Lillard and it was Sean Livingston. That was the optimal pairing to me, and it definitely panned out that way. Lillard at 39.8 and Livingston at 27.8. At shooting guard, this is where you had to spend up, and again, it's the way it played out. Dwayne Wade had 44.2 and DeRozan had 35.2. At small forward, it was some cheaper options. Joe Johnson looked good. He had 30.4 points. He hasn't obviously been that good throughout the playoffs, but that's a pretty nice chunk of points. And Andre Iguodala went for 31 in Golden State. At power forward, Draymond Green was an absolute lock to me. He put up 52.3, and he's been awesome. And Luol Deng had 22.3. Not a great performance from Deng, but it fits into this perfect lineup. And at center, of course, Valanciunas with his 54.3. That lineup totaled you a pretty low 337.3, but you could have easily locked in Lillard, Livingston, Green, Wade, and DeRozan. I think those were not necessarily no-brainers, because at shooting guard, you could have gone with a Thompson or McCollum combination. That still would have been pretty decent. But those other guys should have been pretty much locks into a lineup, and that would have worked out fairly nicely for you to get that sort of a lineup. All right, let's talk about our sponsor today, which is Loot Crate. And Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service. It's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. Each month, it's less than $20 a month, and Loot Crate collects up to 6 to 8 items, or between 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, licensed apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. They put it all into a box, and they send it to you. You don't have to find the stuff. You don't have to look for it. Just trust the nerds over at Loot Crate to find that stuff and send it out to you. Now, I use the term nerd very lovingly because I know plenty of people who listen to this podcast are nerds like myself. I'm a nerd. Of course, I'm from delving this far into our basketball numbers. Each month, Loot Crate has a theme. The May theme is power, so head across to the website. But don't go to lootcrate.com. That's boring. That's the easy way out. Don't Google Loot Crate. Why would you want to do that? You can just type in lootcrate.com/redrock, and that's our unique personal URL that tells the people from Loot Crate that you came from the Red Rock Basketball Monster Show. And that says, hey, you know what? Look at these great guys that listen to this Red Rock Basketball Monster Show. They must know what they're doing, because they're really activating these advertisements, that sounds rude, advertisements that we're putting up on the show, and they're coming across in droves. So go to lootcrate.com/redrock, and then if you're interested in subscribing, use our coupon code, which is of course redrock, and it's one word, and that saves you $3 off any new subscription. Head across to lootcrate.com/redrock today, look at what's over there, and if something tickles your fancy, you can save $3 off any new subscription. Okay, let's get into these games now in a little bit of extra detail. The first game was the Raptors and the Heat. Dwayne Wade was fantastic again, 24-6-4, 3 steals and 2 blocks. I mentioned that Game 7 against Charlotte didn't, if you looked at that low score, not to be too put off, he was fantastic. Deng was didn't score well, 10 points, but played 39 minutes, hit 2 threes, had 4 rebounds, 3 assists and 4 steals. That's a decent night. And Dragic was great for the second game in a row, and he needs to become more involved. He needs to play these minutes, and it's going to help Miami a lot. 26-6-2 for Dragic, 3 triples. He was 10 of 20 from the field. He is really good, and he has been, I think, poorly utilized at times by Miami this season. Hassan Whiteside gave everyone a scare, probably himself a huge scare as well, as he went down with a knee injury early, came back on, played 39 minutes and had 9 points, 17 boards, 2 steals and a block. So a pretty nice performance from Hassan there. While Joe Johnson had 16-7-2 and 2 steals in his 42 minutes. Obviously getting a lot of playing time there, Joe Johnson. That meant that Justice Winslow played only 22 minutes. It meant that Joshy Richardson only played 24. And Richardson was okay with 11 points. Winslow did not score, missed both his shots and had 5 rebounds. And those rookies have really started to struggle in the playoffs and are not getting the sort of minutes they got at the regular season. We saw Gerald Green get 7 minutes. We saw Amari Stoudemire return to the rotation. He played 8. And Josh McRoberts completely out of the rotation. Now, whether that's going to be something that continues throughout this series, that remains to be seen. But normally if it happens in a game one and the team gets a victory, that's likely the way that they're gonna roll things out. So we might be seeing more Amari going a little bit bigger rather than putting Josh McRoberts out there. For the Raptors, Damari Carroll played 37 minutes. A big game is coming. And it was okay here from Carroll. 10 and 4 with 2 triples, 2 steals and a block. That's pretty nice. He's going to have a big game coming up soon. Game 2 is going to be an interesting one for him. He remains a nice punt option in tournaments. Lowry was poor. DeRozan was almost as poor. He had 22 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, but 9 of 22 shooting. Just not efficient. He's been horribly inefficient throughout this series, and they just need to give the ball to Valanciunas more. I'm sorry. It just needs to happen. Normie Power got a start, which was great, but he only played 22 minutes. He wasn't on. He was 1 of 5 from the field. He had 2 rebounds and 2 assists. They moved Pat back to the bench and played him just 18 minutes. I think with the Heat going small, they'll continue to run that smaller lineup and put Carroll at the 4 and run Powell at the 3 because, you know, Patterson's not great shakes. He's not fantastic, and you know, that's understandable to try and get Powell into that lineup. The big surprise was Terrence Ross playing 27 minutes and scoring 19 points. He had 2 threes. He had 2 blocks. He had a steal. I'm not buying into it. I don't believe that's going to happen all that often. This was a night where he got pretty hot. He hit 7 of 13 from the field. And yeah, look, that's great, but will it happen again? Is predictability on his side? It's not. He might be a tournament punt if you want to go really off the board, but I'm just not believing that Terrence Ross will do that again. Corey Joseph went 10-3-2 in 23 minutes, continues just to put up basically the same numbers most nights, and it's not really fantastic for DFS. The Blazers and the Warriors was the next game. The Warriors get the victory. They go up 2-0. They erased a pretty sizable deficit of 17 points to get the victory. They'll be happy they got that victory. They're 2-0 up. They head to Portland now for Game 3 where Steph Curry could return. We don't know that yet, but obviously him returning would be a boost to them. Hopefully they don't rush him back before he's ready because they've handled them so far in the 2 games. And if they can get away with 1 or 2 victories in Portland, if they get away with 2, obviously the series is done. If they get away with 1 in Portland and don't have to play Steph, that's a massive win for the Warriors. Lillard was pretty good. He was inefficient, 8 of 20 for 25 points, hit 6 triples, had 6 assists and 2 steals. McCollum got back after a really bad game 1, had 22 in his 40 minutes. And Al-Farouq Aminu was decent. He's 14-6-2 with 3 threes. He's a real tough guy to sort of project. He's very, very up and down. He's really tough to use in cash. But in a tournament setting, you can sometimes throw a punt on him. Alan Crabb, after 2 strong games, was really bad. 20 minutes for 5 points, not his best performance. Mo Harkless went 11-7 in 27 minutes. A pretty decent Mo Harkless performance, while Gerald Henderson was nice as well. 12-2-3 in his 27 minutes. Mace Plumlee didn't get double digits again. Only 6 points, but 11 rebounds, 4 assists and a block. Continues to be a very, very solid player as a center. Only 28 minutes, though, for Plumlee, as we got some more Ed Davis looks in the game. Warriors, Draymond, fantastic. 17-14-7, a steal, 4 blocks, a really bad shooting night, going 7 of 20, but he's doing a stack for this team. Klay was fantastic, another 5 triples for 27 points with 3 rebounds and 3 assists, and Iggy went 15-5-4 in 32 minutes. What about my boy Harry Barnes? How did he go? Well, he shot efficiently. He was 5 of 8 for 13 points. He had 3 rebounds and an assist in 33 minutes. It's okay. It's definitely not blowing anyone's mind. Sean Livingston, 14-4-4 with a steal and a block, continues just to put up those nice numbers at the value and the salary that he's at. And again, you saw him in the perfect lineup, so it worked out well. I talked about in Game 1 how Anderson Varejao played minutes and Festus Ezeli didn't. I didn't think that would be the case moving forward. Well, Ezeli actually played 13 minutes here. Varejao went down to 3, and Bogut only played 16 minutes here. Ezeli looked the best he's looked since coming back from the injury. He played 13 minutes, went 8-6 with a block, and Bogut went 4-7 in 2 blocks. The reemergence of Ezeli here is going to make it tougher to really focus too much on Bogut in cash games because he could play 27 minutes, he could play 18, like we saw here, depending on how Ezeli is going. But in tournaments, Bogut has got a lot of upside. Ezeli, not really too much of a DFS type of option. That's it. They were the games that we're on Tuesday. I'm going to take a quick break, and there's going to be a word from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to talk about the games that are happening on Wednesday and on Thursday. All right, the first one of those games is the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. That is on Wednesday. The Cavs are favored by 7. The total is 198 points. The Cavs, you'd expect the Cavs to handle this one. Let's look at the point guard situation. Dennis Schroeder is at 3,900. He had 35 points in Game 1. He's averaging 24.5 points across his last 3, the last 2 of the Boston series and the first one here in Cleveland. I can't trust him, though. I can't trust that he's going to play 27 minutes and Jeff Teague is going to play 21. At 3,900, he's a great tournament play because if he goes off, he goes off big time. but he could play 19 minutes and miss all of his shots and have 2 points. Is a big risk with Schroeder. I like Irving at 7,900. He had a nice 38-pointer in game one. You feel like you're going to get 36 to 39 or 40 in most games from Irving. I like him in both sort of formats. Jeffy Teague has been really bad. He's averaging just 17 points across the last three. He's averaging just 21 across his last five. He's at 6,500. If he plays, he'll put up big numbers. But it's hard to trust him at the moment. I don't hate using him in a tournament and hoping that it comes off. I don't think you can use Schroeder and Teague as a combo. That one won't work because one guy will go off and the other one will do nothing. So you can sort of interchange those guys into tournament lineups, but in cash, it's really tough to rely upon them. At Matthew Dellavedova, minimum salary, he's not going to be enough of a factor for me. At shooting guard, J.R. Smith at 4,700. You know, I'm leaning a little bit more towards thinking about Smith as even a cash game play. He's a great tournament play as a shooting guard because he can go big. But in his last five games, his lowest score has only been 16, which is not terrible. His high score has been 27, so it's not that much of an upside in tournaments at the moment. In cash, you feel you're going to get 22, 23, 24 points out of him. But he does have, you know, 35, 40-point upside for a tournament. Just hasn't really shown it lately. Cole Korver at 4,000 took one shot in 37 minutes in game one. The Cavs have made it a mission to get the ball out of his hands and to not allow him to shoot. That makes him no chance for cash. At 4,000, it's really appealing, and he looked great against Boston. But that game one was terrible for Korver. He could get loose. He could go off. Maybe in a tournament. Not a massive amount of trust there. Shumpert, Hardaway, none of those guys are worth looking at. At small forward, obviously it's LeBron James. It's all LeBron James. He's at 10,600. He had 55 in game one. He's averaging 58 the last three times the Hawks have played him. 50 points is absolutely the way you need to go. I think with LeBron, he's going to go for 50. Kent Bazemore was great in game one, and he's been good against Cleveland. He's averaging 36 in the last three times. He's at 5,800. I could easily pair those guys in a DFS lineup, and I think it could be one of the best options out there. Thabo Sefolosha barely played. Mike Scott, yeah, maybe if you're looking for a cheap tournament option. And Dick Jefferson, not much there to like. Had a tweet come in from J Motion. My thoughts on T Ross or J.R. Smith? It's J.R. Smith for me. I'll get to Ross later on. He had a massive game here, obviously, in game one for the Raptors. I don't imagine it happening. J.R. Smith's got much more secure of a role. And yes, he can go off much like Ross did, but I feel much more confident with J.R. So thank you for the question, J Motion. Let's move to power forwards. Paul Millsap, he was decent. He put up more decent. He was put up 47 points, and at 8,900, that's okay, but that's a very big chunk of salary. I'm not overly confident in using Millsap here. I said that in game one, and it turned out to make me look stupid, but I think that he's okay at 8,900. I would much rather take Kevin Love at 7,600. And 76, that's a $1,300 difference. It's a big difference. If I've got the cash left over, I'll take Millsap over him. But if I'm saving my money, Love's the one to go for. He had 35 in game one. I think a 35 to 38 point performance from Love is not crazy. Millsap, I think you get 35 to 40 sort of range. And again, I'm saving 1,300, so I probably take Love there. Chris Humphries, we heard he was going to play. He didn't. And Channing Frye, there's not much to really like there. At center, Tim Mozgov's not going to play or play enough to have any impact. Tristan Thompson at 4,800. I really like Thompson there. 32 points in game one in 40 minutes. I think he's going to continue to play minutes. I think he matches up pretty well against the Hawks. I really like him at 4,800, and that is a great center to put in there. Al Horford's not bad. He's at 7,500, but I don't want to use him against the Cavs. It just doesn't really fit what I want to do. I'm not going to get 37 points out of Horford on a consistent basis, I don't think. I would much rather take Tristan and get his 30 points at 4,800 and return some value. Horford's all right, but it's not for me. The next one is the Heat and the Raptors. Let's look at that game, which is occurring on Thursday. Again, I'm giving the preview here a day and a half in advance. The Raptors are favored by 4 for game... which game is it? For game 2. The total is a really paltry 189.5. Let's look at the point guards. Kyle Lowry is at 7,800 still. It's really tough. At 27 points across his last five, it's really tough to use him. I don't think that's the way you want to go. Kyrie Irving is clearly the superior option at point guard over Lowry to me. Corey Joseph at 3,700. The salary keeps looking appealing, but he's just not doing anything with it. Whereas Dragic at 6,500, I'm okay with using Dragic. Now, he looked great in the last two games. It's a little bit of a risk considering how poor he was to start the Charlotte series, but a 33-point performance in game one here, I think he's an okay guy to look at, but I don't think he's superb. Tyler Johnson didn't play at all in game one, and he wouldn't be really impacting too much DFS-wise. If we look at the shooting guards here, DeMar DeRozan and Dwayne Wade, again, are two of the better options. DeRozan at 7,400, I still like using him. He put up 35 points. That's not terrible at 7,400. I do like using him, and he's actually averaging 51 in the last three times he's played Miami, so I do like him. I like Wade at 75 as well, and you're probably not in the same situation as you were on Tuesday where you were stacking up two big high-priced shooting guards. I don't think that's the way to go. If I'm leaning one of these guys, it's probably Wade, but I can understand going both ways. Joshy Richardson, Normie Powell. Powell's a punt at 3,600, definitely. He had 8 points only today, which is terrible, but he's a guy who can return 20 points at 3,600, especially if he starts. If he gets his shot going, he might play 30 minutes, and I don't think we're going to see Terrence Ross go off like that. Now, Ross was great. He had 27 points. I just don't think it happens again. I just don't put trust in Terrence Ross doing that again. So, yeah, look, punt him in a tournament, but he's definitely, I would rather punt with Powell, and I think you're going to have more reliability in Powell getting minutes, and hopefully he turns that into production. At small forward, Damari Carroll at 4,400, it's not a cash game play, but at the moment he's just giving you consistently 19 to 20 points. It's going to turn into a 27 or a 28, and it's going to work out well at 4,400. I do like him as an option. Joe Johnson had 30 today. At 4,700, he's okay, but I wouldn't feel great about putting him into a lineup. Winslow, no thanks. At power forward, Luol Deng just continues to be okay. He put up 22 points here. He's averaging 27.5 across the last three. He's at 6,600. He's consistently coming undervalued, but doing enough for us to consider him. I would much rather go, if I'm looking at power forwards, the Cleveland matchup, Millsap and Love, get those two guys in there. Maybe take a punt on a Patrick Patterson. But Deng is an okay option, but not spectacular. Patterson had six points. He was terrible. He probably needs to get 25 minutes, and that might not happen. So at 3,600, there's no way you can use him in cash, and maybe you run him in a tournament and hope that they go big, or hope that he gets hot and plays extra minutes over power. I'm not putting much stock in it, though. Josh McRoberts, Amari Stoudemire, they're not going to play enough to really have an impact. At center, Valanciunas was tremendous, obviously. He's at 6,200. He's averaging 32 across his last five. Absolutely fine running him out there. You've got some pretty good center options, actually. Valanciunas, Tristan Thompson, Al Horford, I'd probably put behind those guys. And you got Hassan Whiteside at 8,000. He put up 35 in game one. He was okay. Wasn't at his best. Still grabbed 17 rebounds. 8,000 for Whiteside if you've got the cash left over. Fine, but I reckon you want to spend your cash on some shooting guards, on some power forwards, and you can go cheaper at center with a Valanciunas or Tristan Thompson and save yourself $2,000 or even $4,000. I think that's probably the best way to go. Bismack Biyombo played just 12 minutes in game one, putting up 2.6 points. And you know what? Biyombo's good. He's great defensively. But Valanciunas is and should get the majority of these minutes. We're done. That show is over. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it and you want to make sure you don't miss out on a single episode, subscribe either on YouTube or on iTunes or on Stitcher or on any podcast app that you're using, and you'll get every episode as soon as it's released. Follow me on Twitter at @redrock_basketball. That's not right. Let's try again. @redrock_bball. I was getting ahead of myself. I was going to say follow Basketball Monster @BaskMonster. And you can find all the up-to-date updates as they happen throughout the game, injury news. And if you're a member of Basketball Monster, which I'd always highly encourage you that you do, you can see how all this stuff affects our projections and our projections for the game to really help you build your lineups, and also for you to do some research and stuff for any Dynasty or Keeper leagues that you're in, which I know that a lot of those are rolling over now into next season. And Dynasty leagues, the best thing about Dynasty leagues in fantasy basketball is they don't stop. There's stuff happening all the time. So if you can't get enough fantasy basketball, you need to join more Dynasty leagues. And rest assured, we will be announcing two Red Rock Dynasty leagues over the coming weeks with all the information of how to enter those coming soon. Thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Review if you're listening on iTunes. You know all the ways to support the podcast. Go to lootcrate.com/redrock. That's it. Enjoy the playoffs. Best of luck to your team if they are still in. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.